לא הבנתי אותו עד הסוף.
אם זה משהו באנגלית או...
להגיד למישהו, מי שרוצה להיכנס לתורה ומצוות, אולי הכוונה של האנשים האלה, הוא כבר מרגיש, הכיר אמת, אז אני רוצה להיות כולו באמת. אני מבין שזה משהו לא בריא, ככה לימדו אותי. ברוך השם, כן לימדו אותי שלא להיכנס לגמרי. אבל יש בעיה כאן שאנחנו לפעמים צריכים להתיר לו איסור. מה זה להתיר לו איסור? להגיד לו, לא נורא שבינתיים אתה עושה איסור. איך צריכים להגיד את זה? איך צריכים להגיד? קרה לי לפני כמה שבועות, בחורה הייתה בישראל, חזרה כבר שומרת שבת, קצת כשר, אבל היא כבר רוצה לשים קצת חצאית. אבל זה הדגשתי, היא דיברה איתי.
חצאית?
חצאית, כן.
במקום מכנסיים?
כן, במקום מכנסיים.
מה איסור במכנסיים?
לא יודע, אבל היא הרגישה כבר שזה קרה מאוד. אז אני אמרתי לה, בינתיים לא צריכים לעשות שום דבר. האמת שאולי לא, טעיתי. אמרתי לה, אסור לך עוד 3 חודשים, 4 חודשים לעשות שום צד מיותר. אני חושב שכבר היה לחץ מדי גדול בשבילה, היה כמעט גדול.
מותר להגיד את זה, מותר להגיד את זה.
הוא היה להגיד, אסור להתקדם
יותר. ודאי, ודאי, ודאי.
מאיזה כוח, מאיפה?
בגלל שאתה מבין שזה לא בריא לו.
אבל אתה לא אומר שכן.
לא, אתה לא, אתה רואה, זה הנקודה, תראו, תראו, זה הנקודה, ויש פה דבר מאוד, מאוד, מאוד חשוב בנוגע לבעלי תשובה, אבל בעצם בנוגע לכולם. אנחנו בישיבות היינו רגילים לתפוס בן אדם ורטיקל, היום, ללמוד, היום, להתפלל, היום, לא לדבר לא שנורא, היום, חשבון הנפש, היום, היום, מחר, עוד פעם, היום, היום. או ביום כיפר, כל היומים. כן, זה מה שיש. אבל זהו דבר ורטיקלי. אנחנו צריכים, זה דבר מאוד, שאלה של התבגרות. בן אדם צריך להתחיל לתפוס שהבן אדם הוא הוריזונטלי. הוא נמצא פה, אבל האדם שלו מתפתח ככה. הוא לא שאלה מה הוא עושה היום. השאלה לאן הוא מגיע. כן? אז זו תפיסה אחרת של האדם. אתה... השאלה שלך מבוססת על זה שאתה חושב, היא צריכה היום.
לא, לא,
אפור,
אני רוצה להגיד לה שהיא לא צריכה היום.
לא, לא, אבל התורה אומרת היום, לא התורה אומרת אתה. התורה לא אומרת היום, התורה אומרת אתה. אם אתה תהיה חולה, בגלל שאתה מקיים את זה היום, התורה אומרת לך, אתה אל תקיים את זה. כי התורה רוצה שאתה תקיים את המצוות, לא היום יקיימו את המצוות, אלא אתה. אם אתה תהיה חולה מזה, אז אתה אל תעשה את זה, כי התורה רוצה שאתה תקיים את המצוות, לא אתה היום. אבל זה אחד מהדברים שאנחנו לחוצים מזה, שאנחנו תופסים שהבן אדם הוא כולו נמדד היום. רבי ישראל עשה את זה. רבי ישראל קירב אנשים בצורה כזאת שהיה איסור דרי סמא משל שבז, והוא ככה לאט לאט עשה את זה. לאט לאט. קודם כל לא ככה, ואחר כך אפשר גם להגיד לגוי, ואחר כך אפשר גם לכתוב, לא לכתוב את הכל, ואחר כך לכתוב רק אחרי שבת, ודברים כאלה.
אבל מותר להגיד...
עכשיו, פה יש שאלה, שתי שאלות. האם מותר להגיד שמותר? או מותר להגיד לא שמים לב, יותר מאוחר? אני חושב שאסור להגיד מותר, זה ממש אסור. אבל יותר מאוחר זה מותר. אבל זה מותר בתנאי אחד, שיש לך מספיק ירא שמיים. מלחי מספיק ירא שמיים לזה, דיינו, אצלך זה באמת שבס, אני יודע מה שבס, it's a folklore thing, you know? שבס, אצל רבי ישראל, שבס היה דבר כזה שאם הוא תפס, זה במאי זה שויו, שרבי ישראל היה באמצע דרשה, ואז היה מנורה שכבר לא דלקה, לא היה שם נרות. אז המוקצה של המנורה, זה מוקצה מאוד חלש, מי שלמד, זה רמבן, וזה נשכן קלורה. מנורה שהנר כבר לא דולק, זה שווחי מוקצה, זה ירא שווחי מוקצה. והוא באמצע דרשה מסעסק שלו, אפילו, אין לו מסכם מסעסק אפילו, באמצע דרשה מרוב התפעלות, תפס את המנורה שהיה לפניו. והוא ראה שהוא תפס פה מנורה של מוקצה, הוא התעלף. העירו אותו, הוא ראה את המנורה, הוא התעלף עוד פעם. היו צריכים להעביר את המנורה כדי להעיר אותו שלא יראה את זה. זה רבי ישראל, שהוא אחר כך אמר שאפשר להחסיר בן אדם גם אם יש חילול שבת באמצע. אז אני לא אומר לך, זה תנאי, רק שתבין שאם אצלך שבס זה לא דבר חמור, או למשל, כמו, תסלחו לי שאני אומר, לפעמים יש דבר כזה שבן אדם הוא אדיקטית, או מאוד, מאוד, הולך עם בנות, כן? ואז אתה מבין שאתה לא יכול להגיד מהיום והלאה קתולי. אתה לא מבין שזה לא הולך לך. אבל ברגע, באותו רגע, שאתה אומר, אז מה אתה עושה שהוא צריך לתת לך דוח על מה הוא עושה? באותו רגע אתה יכול לקחת את הפקלח שלך, אתה יכול לקחת את המטוס, ואתה תטוס לפלקלנד, תעשה שם קירוב עם האופות, עם האלבטרוסים, זה מה שאתה תעשה. אבל אל תדבר עם בני אדם, כי סתם אתה מושחס, וסתם המושחס. סתם מעניין אותך איך זה מריח כאילו הרייס, כי אתה נבח שאתה חרדי לא יכול לעשות את זה. אז סתם אתה מושחת, זה אסור. יש דברים כאלו שמאוד חשוב שאנחנו מבינים. אנחנו יכולים ללכת ולהגיד, לא לשים לב גם על זה שאנחנו יודעים שהבחור עדיין הולך עם בחורות, או לא לשים לב שהבחור עדיין מחלל שבת, ולא לשים לב, ויודעים לא לשים לב, אבל זה רק בגלל שאצלנו שבת זה דבר חשוב ביותר, שאנחנו בטוחים בעצמנו שיבוא זמן שאני לא אבטר על זה. או אני מנסה להביא אותו באמת לשמירה מזה. אבל אם זה גוף ומעניין אותי, וזה קורה הרבה, אני לא אומר לך, זה קורה, אני יודע שדברים כאלו קורים, שיש לך עבר עבירס, ואתה לא יודע בדיוק איך העבירה תואמת, אז אתה שואל אותו, איך זה לעשן קרק, או מה שלא יהיה. אז אם אתה עושה את זה, אז better you quit the job, you know? יותר טוב to quit, יא משי.
I don't know if it's a question in time, but regarding about Gilui Arayot, okay?
Yes.
If the guy is asking, okay, about the Homer of the Aveire, right? I know he's not going to stop to do it with any answer that I'm going to say, but he's asking, okay?
Of course I'll tell him that Aveire is Hamura.
Hamura, and
I will not describe in the Gehenna. I don't go to Hieronymus Bosch, you know the guy?
I'm going
to
try to be on his level.
You know him?
No.
No, Hieron.
I'm going to try to
be... Who is it? He made a picture out of Gehenna, you know? I don't go and look at the picture. I've got no idea. Hieronymus Bosch, he was a madman in the 16th, 15th century and made pictures out of Gehenna, you know? You saw it once?
No.
You have to see it. It's the whole... At the whole demon. What?
We read Dante.
What? No, not in a comedy, that's Dante.
Dante
again. Yeah, no, he didn't. I don't think he made that. He made that from himself, and I saw it even in original. I was in Madrid, in Prado, so I saw that, and it is posited the sick demon of a Christian man. You know, it's unbelievable. But these deviators of Gehenna, I tell you, can't beat them. You know, so don't shout that.
So
point.
You try
okay.
to answer the guy on what you think is his level, and that's it.
He has to know that by you that is Hamu.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
That's it, yeah. That's it. For sure. Okay. Beseda, it is clear. It is more or less clear. So for sure, you can't be... I think to say mutal in the place where the Torah says asur, I think it is forbidden. You have to ask a Pesach. I think it is very strictly forbidden. I don't want to say words, but I think it's very, very strictly forbidden. To say it's muta.
Not for now, it's okay.
Yeah. But to say it's muta, it's very forbidden. And this can happen, I tell you, the Meise, there was, this is very tricky in the Haredi Tzibur too, because when you have Bochim, which are misasik with themselves. So, the Meise Oinon, you know, Chattas Neurim, you know, you have a Shiva Ktane, and you have misasik, and now the Mashiach, doesn't want to put that uppermost pressure on the Bochim, which is not healthy. So the hadrocha is, you have to teach them how not to get to some level, to get weiter, further. That's hadrocha, the Chasnish said that. Yeah? You have to teach them alter sim left, because it's a yetzorah, and the yetzorah drives them crazy, and that's once in a while by the Baal Tshuva, even by Gilui Arayos, it's a yetzorah, which drives them crazy, you know. So it's a Yetzirah, drives you crazy. You have to make him understand that go further. You have better things to do than to just stand there and make yourself mad about that. That's the Chaznish. So there was a Mashgiach which heard that from Rav Volbe. The Mashgiach, and he said that by him in Yeshiva, such a thing. I said by him in Yeshiva. And the Bochim then understood from him that Be'etzim it's Mutar. So this Mashgiach made a big mistake how he said it. Now you have to be very careful how to say that. You can't make the impression it's mutar. No, it's not mutar. But it's not for now. We're saying things like this. You don't give the impression, don't say it's a mutar. You can't do that. But for sure you can say we have to do better things now. We are also in other things. It's a similar thing. So there, it's not saying it's a sifin shulchan aruch too, you know. So it's a sifin shulchan aruch. So it's a similar thing. You ask, how can you be matir that? You're not matir. So how can't you say it's also 100%? No, you are guiding him out of that aveira. Through that you make him not being tzabach, not being always standing there. Do better things. Better things what to do. That is the case by Haredi. So in Balei Tshuva, Alachas Kamo, that's the case. That's what we're dealing with now. Yeah, you have things which are driving him crazy, but so you're going to go into that and you try to stop it 100%. Because that does not productive, and you don't say this uppermost intelligence. Adarabba, use that kriyah for another thing because that won't help. No, you go for better things. There are better things there in Torah, other things which are also exciting and better things, and then this will fade. It will not be so exciting anymore because you have other parts of your personality which are involved in that. Okay. Say no. So let's go further on. How many mechuyah for the 33?
Yeah. Something that we always ask is that there's here the Sephardim, there's Ashkenazim, there's Turks, and the question is, Rav Eliezer can say it even more, that the Ashkenazim are very, very far. Very. The question is, to which extent, if you have Sephardim that are not religious, but more connected, and they want to learn, you say, very nice, we don't want to have you, we go for the real far away. To which extent, Rav Elisha had that question also, he should go to, you know, a place where there's almost no one teaching, and all the people, they want to learn from him, they're closer, he should lead them. What do you think, there's a huge to really, you know, the people who are really interested, leave them for people who are really far away? What do you think is it?
So, according to my opinion, this question is based on your mindset, what Kiruv means. There is a mindset which Kiruv means, which I am very chaylik, even though I sit over here in this institution, I'm very chaylik with a mindset which is called you save Klal Yisrael. I am extremely chaylik on that. I hold it's a very unhealthy mindset. Klal Yisrael is the business of the Borei Olam, and he will save Klal Yisrael. What is your job is to teach Torah or to educate. That's your job. Because we understand, without teaching Torah, without giving Torah, there will be a lack of Jewish identity. You know, Jacob, Jewish identity. Jewish identity is built from that the person learns Torah and keeps mitzvahs. So we try to teach that. But we are not into that. We have to save Klal Yisrael. I think this is a little bit wrong shoes. That's too big of a word that we are using for ourselves. I will save Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the personal business of the Borei Olam, and he is involved, and he will do with the Klal Yisrael the way he sees what has to be done with the Klal Yisrael. That is my personal opinion. So that's a question of a mindset. So of course, when you have the mindset that you have to save Klal Yisrael, and you have the people which are very, very far away, then you feel, okay, these are already inspired people, or in a certain way inspired people, and I have other people which I could go after them, and I'll save them too. Good? But when you think about that you have to teach and you have to educate, an educator is not doing, I think it's a Rambam in Hilchas Deis, a Talmid Chochm, let's say. So we are not Talmid Chochm, no one of us, so what you are Talmid Chochm, I not, whatever you want, you know, however you want to say that. But it says in the Rambam, only to take from that Rambam, a Talmid Chochm is not investing in his time in an unproductive endeavor. He doesn't do things which won't have any tzitzos. Doesn't do that, you know. So when you try to be mechanech, and you see that there's so much to be mechanech, not in a only sophisticated way, in a very intrinsic, in a very real way, you know, the sadistic way, by people which listen to you, and mechanech is then not abandoning them and say, I leave you because I have other people to do. He's turning over, excuse me, from a mechanech to an asken. An asken will do that. An asken will go and try to push all the buttons everywhere because that's what the asken does. A mechanech doesn't do that. The Mechanech uses his Koichas HaNefesh and thinks about the Mechanech, thinks about the student, and he thinks, how can he make that student make steps further in that endeavor he is Mechanech to? That's a Mechanech. So this is a question of mindset. When you think about saving Klal Yisrael, the question is a very difficult one. When you think about being Mechanech, the question is much more delicate. Not so difficult, but it's delicate. That means when you are a Mechanech, for example, I'm not a Mechanech, but let's say, okay? So I have people, I am Mechanech, which they are from 100%, but they hold that there are certain things that's the way I am, I try that to give over that they could develop. Even they are Rosh HaKeilalim, and they are Magid Yishurim, and I think I could perhaps give over something for them that they could also have a benefit from certain things I teach them. So, but it's not, then I don't only do that. There are people which they say, I'm only for the creme de la creme. You know? No. I don't do that. I go and be mechanech, other people do. I once went on purpose to be a mefakeach in a cheder, and I had to speak to Pkitahei till Kitachet. Only that I shouldn't be caught in that terrible mindset that I am only there for the best and most intellectually developed Bnei Torah on the globe. You know, that shouldn't happen to me. I tried to be Mechanech children. Yeah? I had to diversify my endeavors in Chinuch. I try to go to speak to Freie people when I go on these trips. I try to deal with Ner Le'elef, which that's a very painful thing to be still involved in Ner Le'elef, because it's very simple, it's painful. Because I, even though I'm very silly, but they're simply years passing by, and I'm now closer to 60. But these children which come into Ner Le'elef, they even get younger year by year. Not only that they are still 24, no, they are now 23. And I am growing. So now the difference in age is constantly growing. And I have, it's a pain in the neck that I speak to them because they are all younger and younger. And I, you know, there are different things that are not interesting for me anymore to so much to scream at the coach, which I hold, it's apikursus, you know. That's not interesting for me anymore. I hold the coach, you may not teach. That's my opinion. So I can give a shiur over here, which I scream at you. And that's not interesting for me anymore. I'm passé, you know. That's passé. That's, I hold really, that's wrong, and that's it. You know, those are hard. I once, when I was younger, I was so much into that people tried to light me up. They ask that, and I now get, then they knew when they push that button, then Leuchter gets crazy, you know. And I say all different kind of names and all different kind of people, you know, when you want, you know. So that's what I do. But now I don't do that anymore. Not interesting anymore. So I get older. So, but I still teach. That's very healthy for me. Because I relate to them too. So by you in the key of scenery is a similar thing. When you are understanding this question of chinuch, then you want to be mechanech the people which are closer and listen to you, because that is the natural thing to go further on with that. But you don't, you understand, there are other people too you could be mechanech. But then you try to be mechanech them. And that is the thing. Once in a while by Ashkenazim, you deal with Ashkenazim?
I try.
So when you deal with Ashkenazim, once in a while they are love bar chinuch, you know?
Yes, look,
once in a while by Ashkenazim.
Look, they're love bar chinuch.
Well, I'm judging my mind though. I'm becoming like everyone else.
No. But by once by Ashkenazim, they are love bar chinuch. You just can't educate them. Love bar chinuch. You can't educate them because they are not willing to mellow their tfisat olam. They're not willing to do that. So that then the educational process is very, very, very shallow with them. Very shallow. I had a person.
Therefore, you shouldn't try even.
This I can't. I tried, for example, you couldn't believe, I tried a person with Ashkenazi. He was a genius. A genius in Haifa. And he was, I think he was in Uganda. You remember Uganda?
Entebbe?
Mm-hmm. I think he knew how to shoot the way you shoot in the films. That's what he knew. That means when he wants to, I see your ear only at 2 millimeters. I think he was able to move it like this, and you get just next to your ear like this. And like Ken Schiess, as even James Bond, you know, that's what he knew. He knew that's what he had gewusst, as he machen. So, and he was extremely intelligent. Extremely. extremely intelligent. See, every single week he was learning the Mechilta. When it was Shmois, he was learning the Mechilta, the whole Mechilta every single week, and he came with questions. I don't learn the Mechilta every single week, you know. I even once a year don't learn that thing, you know. But every single week he learned the Parsha with the Mechilta, and he came with questions on the Chazal, you know. And I had to run after the guy. He was not Chazal B'tshuva 1 millimeter. Not 1 millimeter. He was not available. There was nothing there. There was no chinuch. There was intellectual interaction with the guy, but no chinuch happening. It was a big mistake of mine. A big one. Yeah? A very big mistake. And that's
what happened. Because you were losing your time.
No, because I didn't do the right thing. I hold, I mean, like the right thing. I can't tell you what I think. I think the right thing to do, I always say it's not interesting anymore for you, perhaps, but I once, okay. Did you once uproot a street sign? You know what it means? Uproot the street sign? Like a stop sign, you know? You go like that. Vandalism, you know? Yes. Boom, take it out. You did it? No, I tried to do it. I had the frack already, you know? I was a mashgiach this year. And I thought, do I have the courage to take out such a street sign? So I began, I was there, and I put on pressure. Now I pushed. That was the middle of the night. Believe me, it was dark. I pushed, I didn't go anything. And then I thought, no, you have to do it differently. You have to hop the resonance. That means you have to push and then you feel how that comes back. And then you push and leave. And then push and leave. And push and leave. And push and leave. Push and leave. Push and leave. Push and leave. And then comes the time a thing comes out, you know. So I was able to do it. I didn't do it till the end. Otherwise, I would stand with a frock and a street sign in hand, you know. So I didn't do it till the end. But you could do it. You could do that. You alone. You can do it. When you do it in that way. So that taught me that the biggest keyach in the world is resonance, not pressure. Pressure is not so strong as resonance. Resonance is much stronger. Resonance. The way, you know, when you go with a division of soldiers over a bridge, you may never walk unison. You may not do that. It's also because you could take down the bridge. You could take down the Golden Gate Bridge like this. Because when you go unison, it could be that you hop the resonance of the bridge, and then Golden Gate goes down too. It doesn't matter how big the bridge is. When you hop the resonance, even people which are much less heavy than the cars which go over, but they go with the right resonance, the whole thing will come down. Yeah? When you make this big, I don't know, over here in Mexico, they don't make big buildings. It's all flat a little bit. They make big buildings, yeah? When you make a skyscraper and you have an engineer, they use different kind of materials to break the resonance. Yeah? A little bit of steel and a little bit of concrete and a little bit of that. That's a whole chokhmah, how to break that thing, that it shouldn't have one resonance. Otherwise, a hurricane can take down that building. Because a hurricane can create that, makes like this, and then more and more and more, and the whole building falls down. Yeah? The whole thing falls down. So resonance is a tremendous keyach. What you have to do with the Baal Tshuva to make him move is to create resonance. That means you have to make an input and then leave him. And to make an input and then leave him. And make an input and then leave him. And then comes a time which all these inputs together create by the Baal Tshuva, by the guy, such a response by him that he has an urge for a response. He has to do something now. And then you have to make him now keep Shabbos. Yeah, then comes the time you have to demand something from him. Or he will run away. But you can't go like this forever. And I lost that. Because I didn't create a resonance. I didn't even touch the guy. I learned with him. Now you have to touch him. You have to find, where do you touch him? Invite him. Speak with him personally. It was a very intellectual going together, no chinuch involved, no personal connection involved, and there were no resonance there, and they didn't know that it works like this. And then I didn't speak to him ever, and the guy stayed the same. Shimshon Adan, he's not until today, he's the same guy, you know. Didn't move. Did not move. Not 1 millimeter didn't move.
So putting personal relation, it's part of a big ingredient here?
Yeah. Like all chinuch, every chinuch is a personal relation. Yeah? Chinuch is always about personal relation when you want to be a mechanech. Okay? So,
could
Could yeah. you define the what does a Mekarev do? Should do?
What means? What does it define?
I mean, it's because I understand that I thought that a Mekarev was someone who brings Hiloinim or secular people into Torah mitzvahs. I'm here now, that is, a Mekarev has to be also a Mechanech.
Sure.
Because
I think that's what Chinuch is. You bring him to a place where he wasn't there before.
That's Kiruv.
That's Chinuch, always.
No, and Kiruv is also...
Yeah, Kiruv is a part of being Mechanech to Torah. Only the Kiruv is that you are Mechanech to Torah on an empty background. That's the whole difference. What I do with those super Haredi guys, I do the same thing as I do in Kiruv. Only I have a big background of Torah already, and then I'm a Chanech in that particular part, which is this and this Prat, you know? But when you have no, it's an empty background, the Chinuch towards Torah mitzvahs is that I teach that to them, and I try to make them move towards that. The same thing I try to make to move the Haredi guy towards one step further. The same thing I try to be Mechanech myself, to go myself one step further. That's what Chinuch always means. But by him, the whole tricky point by the Kiruv is that you have an empty background. There's nothing there in the back. There's no. You don't have an existing body which you make that move further, because there's nothing there. Doesn't know about Shabbos, doesn't know about anything. So that's why you have to teach about Shabbos a little bit and things like this. But the Chinuch is not the teaching about Shabbos. The Chinuch is to make him move. To make him move. Yeah? That's Chinuch. Chinuch means you make a guy move. You make a guy change in his personality a little bit. Yeah? Otherwise it's only delivering knowledge, you know? That's not Chinuch.
How do you do that? You want to say how you do that?
Chinuch. I think through resonance. That is what I think. That is a major prayer you have. That you have a constant... When you have a person and you have a constant reoccurring Yachas with him, that's the biggest koyach you have on him. Constant reoccurring. But then you have to be not coward. You have to understand, okay, I don't know how it goes over here in Mexico, but people once in a while, they are on a slope. And the slope is always, they can't go up, and then you feel, he developed that, they leave him alone, he goes down again. And he goes up, and you leave him alone, he goes down again. And you notice from the Ashkenazi, you go up, and he goes down again.
Don't go up.
Don't go up. But by the smart in Mahabos, you have this slope. No, you have this. That's not chinuch. This is only that you develop. You're mitkadem. Chinuch happens at that moment that you reach a stage where there is a step. This is harmful. This is hurtful. Because then, when there's no slope anymore, there's a step. Always in Kiruv, it comes a time where you have to make a step. That's what I meant with the resonance. Yeah, it changes. The street side in the ground and the street side out of the ground are two different realities, you know? Same thing, that you are slope, you're creating this resonance, and then comes a step. And then you may not be coward. You have to be courageous to say, take a step. And this needs a seichel, which step to take. It can be a very minor step. But it has to be a step. I don't know over here in Mexico, but once in a while, one of the most difficult steps is putting on a kippah. That could be one of the most difficult steps, even if it's a minor step, was in the kippah. I would go without kippah, you know. The Beirer of Hebron and Shiva, of Shiva's Hebron, means Reb Chaim Sarne, against Reb Rav Breude, you know, all these people. The Beirer, the one who's on charge of them, was a guy which went to business meetings without kippah, Wolf Rosengarten. He was sitting in business meetings with Goyim in Schweiz, and he didn't have a kippah on his head, and also not in his pocket. He didn't have a kippah in his pocket, no. The kippah, it was like this with this Jekes, they had a hat, you know. And he took off the hat, and there was no kippah there, and he went to the business meeting with a blazer cup, and he was the brailer, you know. So going without kippah, there's no problem, the Edson, you also know it. But it's a big step. Because it makes a statement. And there are things which makes much less of a statement, but it's also a step. Yeah? Okay?
You have to have the hope of when to push a little bit to make
a
step.
That's right. Make a step, and which step to make. A lot of times, I personally feel that we are underestimating steps in Benodom L'Chaveiro. We are underestimating steps. You could make a step in Baruch HaVeirai. You know? A step in Baruch HaVeirai is...
it's a good step.
Why, is, what?
It's good to make that.
Yeah, but it's a step. Yes. You may not go that, you don't leave that anymore. It's a step, and it's a religious step. You know, it's...
No, but not because now...
That's a big step, you know. My hobby is Lashon Hara, man. That's my hobby. But no, that's a big step. But for example, for a husband, the step in Onol Chaveira is you prepare coffee for your wife in the morning before you go out. Put a cup there, put coffee inside, milk next to it, and there she will meet the cup that you thought about her. Nice thing to do, you know?
What would you say? The problem is with the Ashkenazim in Mexico, that area works perfectly.
What?
The problem is with the Ashkenazim in Mexico, that area works perfectly.
No.
That what?
With
what
me a lot, when you
what works
you
perfectly?
Have to be the Karev, you have to be a more a mensch person. It's something they take easily. It comes easy and it's a step they're willing to give.
But the dargat, when you expose them to dargat of what really the Torah expects, yeah. They go like,
well,
wow.
When you ask them to say the simplest mitzvah that's related to Ben Adam Lemakom, it's much more complicated.
I agree. But when you make from that a simple mitzvah, you know, Ben Adam Lechavayrai, perhaps is, I don't know how it is over here in Mexico, they are very rich communities, Ashkenazi communities, for example, Portland, Oregon. There are people who have money there, but they are not educated to give. No tzedakah, nothing. Gurnisht. Okay? So this is Benot Mochavira. Yeah? So by the Ashkenazi tzibur, giving tzedakah once in a while is a very difficult thing to do. That's right? Because they immediately suspect you that you want the tzedakah for yourself. Which that's in the end, however, the truth. We want the money from everyone for us. So that's right. That we want all the money in the world should be by me, you know. But to be educating for tzedakah, yeah, that would be easy by Ashkenazi. It's Ben Adam Chaveira, you know. But with this Ben Adam Chaveira hurts, you know. You have to give out money, so you have to find things like this, you know. That was it. Very important. I would say in this question of Ben Adam Lechaveira together with Ben Adam Lemakom, I would show the guy that what the Torah demands from him has another dimension than what he would think by himself. Yeah? Always. It's always like this. The Ben Adam Lechaveira too. Ben Adam Lechaveira for the Torah is much more, it's something entirely different. I don't know whether you are aimed on that. It's entirely different. It's much deeper. When you read, for example, only to give it to the psychological halachic thing. When you read psychology books, now Kanner has to come. You know, I'll tell him. He knows this dilemma. It's a well-known thing. He's coming. Kanner, you come? Okay. He will tell you the name of the guy which speaks about that dilemma. There's a well-known dilemma, which is that Ben Adam Lechaveira. Yeah? Well-known dilemma, there is a train going down the road, which has no... He lost his control. The train lost the control, and you have such two ways of railroads, which the train goes there directly, and the thing is that it goes straight, and when it goes straight, there will be a group of people there, which he will kill. And now you have the possibility to turn that railroad over, and then it goes the other way, and there's only one guy there. Would you do it? What would you do? 1 minute? Wait. 1 minute. Wait. Now, there's another scenario. That you have a train which is out of control and there is a bridge. There's a bridge going on. There's a bridge above this railroad. And you are sitting on this bridge with a very fat man. A very heavy man. Yeah? And the train is coming and is going to the group of people, and now you can push down the man in front of the train to stop it. Would you do it? So the answer is, that is a psychologist. The psychologist found that thing, you know, unbelievable. There was such a chokhmah, I'm blown away. And then they said, amazingly, the people, when they can change the direction of the train, they say, I would change the direction. But when they say, that I would push down the guy from the thing, they wouldn't do it, even though it's the same thing. You kill one person for the other, and the same thing, but over there they are more reluctant, and over there they are less reluctant. That is only because all these psychologists, they can only lernen. Over here it's a gromme, and over there it's Retzach. So you can't be over a Retzach, that's the halacha, but gromme is different, that's right. So it's very clear that the Torah Hakdoisha, the Ben Adam Lechaveira of Torah Hakdoisha, is in another level than the newest psychology book. You know, that's what it is. The psychology bring that down. You saw it?
I don't know which books you read, right? Like the Nobel
Laureate. No. That's what they bring down. That was like a new thing, and they say, we see that out of some reasons, people are reluctant to be directly involved. You know what, there's some reasons. That's glatt Retzach, and this is a Gromme, and this is that's a Halocha, Benodum Lechaveira, you know, it's a Halocha in Hilchos Retzach. That the Gromme is the one Chumre, and the Retzach is the other Chumre, you know. They can in Israel, they namratzim, you know, they even can't learn these guys, you know. Yeah? That's my tkuva to that. So there you see that Benonim Lachavera in the Torah, he is speaking about much deeper and much more clear and deeper concepts. And I would try to bring the guy to something like this, you know, what the Torah really means, Benonim Lachavera.
What would you say is a more important melacha right now, to focus on Chilonim or Frum people?
Or Frum?
Yeah.
What I say, it depends on you. It depends on your place. It depends on when you have a person which has a possibility to make both, that you say, in the same way.
I don't know, it's the same way, but...
To the same extent.
The requirement is pretty high in both sides.
What? Yeah. But it's always a question where you are, where you see that you are productive. That's always the question. We don't do things which are ideally needed. It's always very personal. I had this question over here now with someone which asked me he taught Torah to Frum people. I gave a chabura, I taught Torah, and now he teaches Torah to more modern fry or modern people, and he's very much matzliach in that, very, very much matzliach. That's what he does, and people are so thirsty for that. But he has a bad conscience that he could go and really teach Torah to Frum people, you know, and say chaburas in a kehil, you know. Mm-hmm. So why should he do that? So the question is, where are you interchangeable and where not? I think giving a chabura by the kehil once a month, other people can do that too. But being so popular and so demanded from the more modern as you are, others can't do. So you go for that. It's also a question where you are needed and where you... The Boreolam wants you to teach Torah. The Boreolam doesn't want Torah to be taught. He wants you to teach Torah. So your question is really relevant only by a person which has the exact same skills and exact same demand. I don't know whether it's an Eichus or Kamus, by the Frum and by the Frey. And that is not so Shriach. It's not so Shriach that there is a person like this. Huh? What is it?
So where is Shriach if you have to give money? Where would you put your money? On this or that project?
This I can't decide. This has to be your Tiyas Aleif. A person which has money, that's already in Hilchos Stoker. A person which has money and gives out Stoker, there's a certain reason why the Boreolam gave the money to that person. Yeah? Everyone says, I have to ask Rav Yosher, it's not my life anymore, or Rav Shlomo Zalman, or all these big Rabbonim, they will tell me where to put the money. It's wrong. It's a big mistake. Because then, why the Boreolam didn't give the money straight to these big people? When the Boreolam wanted that the Rav Yosher should decide on the money, he would give the money directly to Rav Yosher. And he would decide. There's a certain reason that he gave it to you. Not to you. No. For sure not to me. For sure not to me. But there's a certain reason why the Boreolam gave money to someone. Why? Because he wants him to decide. There's no objective thing to do that. He wants him to decide. And there's one which decides more for Yeshayimim, and the other one more for Torah, and the other one more for Kiruv, and the other one more for Kol. And that's the way that the money gets distributed in the right way in the world of the Beroilo.
Where's the Das Torah?
Das Torah is what I just told you. That you have to decide. That's what the Torah wants from you.
God doesn't know what to do with his money. He has no tears.
No tears. So he has to go and think a little bit that perhaps the Berlin wants him to be a little bit more developed than a child from 3 years old. What shall I do?
No. If we get the money.
What?
If the organization gets the money.
Which?
If the organization gets the money.
Eish.
Eish or whatever organization.
Or Adas.
Whatever organization. What should we do? Where should we focus our money or investment or efforts?
It's depending where are you needed. It depends very much where are you needed. This is a hitlaptut. It's very healthy to have this hitlaptut. People today, perhaps this is not nogea now today to this, but it's nogea to a teamwork or whatever it is. People in today's society, they very much want to get rid of all of their hitlaptuyot, and they want to have clarity. And this creates very small people. You are very small and everything is clear because there's no need to grow. Everything is clear. The whole point of growth comes from a tension between two sides which both are possible. And both are there. And now you have to deal with this tension. You have to think perhaps here, the next time perhaps there, and perhaps take it better here, no, it's there, mach das, that is a always ongoing tension within you, but that is the source of your growth. Otherwise, you don't grow.
You provoke your own this metach.
What?
You are provoking.
You have to generate this.
You need to generate this metach.
What do you mean? It's there because you don't know what is generated.
No, you can be more questionable on things, and then you can grow up in other areas. Maybe you never. Go in, maybe let's go, because I think the Rav say the same in the Musar, am I right?
Yes, similar.
Okay, so let's say I have a way for some books of Musar. Let's say I always study the Siladish. Then I take another one, and then I'm going to come to a new challenge or new meta in things. So I'm on...
No, I speak about personal meta. No, you don't make meta that you have two sheets of Rishayin and don't know what to do. That's not the meta I speak about. I speak about the matter that in your life decision you don't want to know what to do. And both sides are possible. Yeah? Both sides are possible. Both sides are good. That always you have. You know, you are married, yeah, and you have to go to make kiruv, yeah. And your wife wants you to stay home, hopefully. When not, then you are in troubles. So your wife wants you to stay home, and you have to go make kiruv. That's right. So now both are good, you know. To sit home, and to smile to your wife is a big mitzvah, it's the biggest thing in the world. But you go and make kiruv, it's the biggest thing in the world. When you don't have any hitlaptut with that, then you are in troubles. When you say, no, what's the hitlaptut? My wife is on the same page as me. I always go for kiruv, I never do anything else. And she's very much encouraging me. You are a nebuch. You're a small ant on the top of the Empire State Building. But you're so small, just you're on the top of the Empire State Building, no bigger. But when there is a metach and you really live that through, that you are opening your ears, that your children want you and your wife wants you, and that's an important thing for you. And then you open your ears, that, but there is also a thing that I have to go to do the work. And I have to find the, what shall I do over here? And it drives me crazy. Then you don't go to the rabbi, and you ask, think about that yourself, and you experience the metach, and then you'll grow. And then you'll be a bigger person. That's what it is, all the time. It's all the time what happens to a person, no? It's all the time. But when you are closing the gap, and that's what you want. That's what you want. You want that someone should tell you, no, it's the biggest mitzvah in the world. Two things. In one side, it's the biggest mitzvah in the world to do kiruv. And the second is, Ezu Ishak Shera HaRotzeh HaOsah Rotzon Ba'ala. Both together, Shalom Al Yisrael. No question anymore. You close the mouth, and that's it, you are gone. Small guy. Eh? Small person. No. No, there's a tension going on. And you will grow. Yeah? You'll find a way how to deal with that. And then you'll be a bigger person. It's always like this. Yeah? It's a clear, it's a tension in your own life decisions.
So should we try to create that tension in our students? That type of tension?
It depends on how developed they are. That is already a developmental question by them. When to live through a tension is only able when you are committed. When you are not committed, the tension is anti-productive. When you are not committed, then the tension goes like this. I want to do that, but I want to do this. I don't know what to do, so I leave the whole business, you know. Let's not walk into that, you know. I leave the business. Why should I have troubles? But when you are committed, you are committed to Kiruv, and you are committed at home. Now, these two commitments, they create a tension. So when you have a student, on the way to be frum or not yet frum, and you put him into a tension, you're going to make a disservice. Because you will be making that decision, I don't need this pain in the neck, I just go home, you know. No tension altogether. That needs a commitment in the background. Yeah? Otherwise it doesn't go, yeah?
I think that today students, especially those that study social sciences, they are much more into the thought of complexity. Authors that we didn't study when we were in university now are becoming mainstream literature in social sciences. So I think that they're more, people are today sometimes are much better into, they understand things like complexity means not looking at one thing as it is, but having several levels of reality. These things that for us sound like you're crazy today are much more mainstream than they used to be.
Very nice. But always by these things which are mainstream in the secular world, the question is whether it is an intellectual pursuit or they are able to live that through. This is a big question by me always. It's always a big question. To my amazement, I saw big people, big intellectual people, which when you ask them after, but in a personal way, they were not able to deal with that life is so complex. And they make very much simplifications on certain topics which are not comfortable for them. You see that over and over again, for example, the complexity of dealing with religion. In today's society, a part of the complexity of dealing with general society would have to be religion. Also because of the problem with the Taliban, and also because of the problem with all these crazy religions which are there. But you have to admit that religion is a complex thing. And you read books about that. In today's modern society, you are amazed and you are insulted as a frum Jew how they speak about religion. I am very insulted over that. The simplistic way of fanatism, they look at Orthodox people. When you look at the people which write about Orthodox, non-frum, but the problem of Orthodoxy, it's so simplistic and so non-complex, I feel insulted. They can't deal with the issue. Yeah? They can't see that things are more diversified. So that always, it's a question whether they do it really or not. Yeah?
I think we can attach to that current and capitalize great.
That could be.
I'm not doing it as secure, but I currently am studying with a lot of non-Jews, and it's almost fascinating how I can bring religion as the most far-reaching idea, because I just attach it to the idea of complexity. And that's it. It's beautiful. People love it. It works. People are sick of the simplistic thought of modernism. They don't take it anymore. They don't buy it.
Uh-huh. So I'm not up to date with that. I'm not in contact with people. That could be. I don't know. You could use that. He calls it capitalize. That's a very nice word, man. You know?
Can I ask a question?
Now we can go for question and answer. It's 5 minutes too long, but never mind. You know. No, no. 15 minutes too long. Yeah, right.
How far should go our achrayus to the person that we are being makarif? We work with Nevi Alef. For Nevi Alef, it's very clear cut. It's Shomer Shabbos, and after you find your report, so you are done with the guy. And somehow we feel that, at least myself, that being Shomer Shabbos is not enough. On the other side, you have to be Mekad of another people. So it's how do you make the decision and also to know what is our achrayus towards them?
It's a question of what is available in the social structure you are in. I don't know what is available over here in Mexico, but it's a question of the social structure.
What usually happens is that after a person was fried and then started keeping Shabbos, usually he made a cut with his friends or up to a certain level, with maybe with the family, and the FFB places, institutions, he's not so welcome. And he feels awkward to get into these places, in most of the cases. I mean, of course, there are exceptions always. But in general...
And families you don't have, which you could connect these people to them, they're not there.
If they didn't have a connection with them, with the families at the beginning, they want to...
Was not. Okay, so then normally it is further on your own responsibility for the guy. You can't just drop the guy after Shomer Shabbos. That's nonsense. Because it depends again on the stage of development he's in. But always you said 18, 19, that's your favorite age. So 18, 19, when you don't provide, even after Shomer Shabbos, you don't provide a peer group or some connection to some person, you just didn't do anything. It's not that you made him from and the file is closed when the file is not closed because he won't stay from. I'll sign you that, you know. You can't stay from by the age of 18, 19 alone. It doesn't go. It simply doesn't go. It doesn't work. You have to write something. And not always it's a wise thing to send it to Eltsasol, think that you can't do it. It's nonsense. You have to have some further contact with him. That's a simple achrayus. When you see that he's falling out otherwise, that's for sure. That's your own... Achrayus further on. You can't just reach a stage and then leave him alone. I personally think that this is a thing which in the whole Kiruv scenery is not dealt enough. It's called, you would call that the second stage, or I don't know what second stage or first stage, have a dispute on that, of Kiruv. That you have someone which is now wants to be Shomer Shabbos and he does it Lamaise, but how to give a stability to it. So how long do you think that now Arturo will tell you whether that's true, but I think that's the case. How long do you think is a change in a person? It's obvious, that's not really clear whether the change in a person, but how long, when there's a change in a person going on, how long do you think is needed, how much time, in order that you could say that change was for real? How long? I think between half a year and a year. I would more say a year.
I would say two years.
What?
I would say 2 years.
This is Machmir, for example. This is that's why you don't know what happened. But when I take Arturo and he has a person which was really bad with OCD or something, or whatever it is. And let's say OCD he can treat. Now I want to be revealed to you. And he treats OCD that he won't wash his hands after a year. He will... do something else, but never mind. But let's say you can treat a condition. You can treat that. You really brought the person to a personal change. It's a big work. How long has to keep on that change in order that he should be able to say, "I'm now calm"? A year, no? A year or something like this. So now, how can Nel Elif come and say he keeps Shabbos, which you don't know why exactly? Is it a social context? Something really changed by him. You don't know. And then after 3 months of that him keeping Shabbos, you close the file and weiter. That is absolutely irresponsible. That is absolutely irresponsibility because the change didn't happen yet. The change happens for sure only after a year. So I hold that whenever you have someone in Shomer Shabbos, you for sure have to be together with that guy at least another year. Otherwise you didn't do the job. Because change is not... And by Shmiras Shabbos, it's much more difficult because it's not really a personality change once in a while. It's more a little bit social and the colors and the lightening and the quarreling with the parents, which is enjoyable for him. And whatever it is, you know, you can't really know. You know? But even though less than a year, not for real. It's a lot of gloom. מה עשית? מה, בגלל שהוא חמש פעמים שמר שבת כמרנו?
A year after he becomes Shomer Shabbos?
Yeah. You have to keep a contact at least a year afterwards, because you can't know whether that Shomer Shabbos is consolidating. It's like stable, you know? You can't know that. I think that's clear. That's for sure. I think that's even not a no big chokhmah. That's simple. The question is even afterwards. The question is even afterwards how much you have the thing. So there you normally by a mekar b'chokhmah. I don't know how that happens by you, but I was myself once in the beginning of the kirov b'chokhmah situation with a person which was from the first mekar b'chokhmah, not the first, but from the first mekar b'chokhmah in the tzibur. I myself, I'm very happy that I came as a non-knowledgeable. I didn't know how to learn, you know, and I came to Mir Yeshiva, and I simply had to know because there was no other yeshiva available. Huh? So I had to learn. I'm very happy with that. So that kept me normal. I had to work like a madman to keep up with these tesusim, which I didn't know how to read them, you know. So that was very healthy for me. But I spoke with one which was 10, also Bekirov. There was no real, very schwach. In the beginning, Ikas Israeli was there, and I was sitting with him too. You remember him? Ikas Israeli was also then there. So I was sitting with him, and then the guy complained and said, you know, I have people, which I was Bekirov of them, and afterwards, they go to those mashkichim, which they tell them something, and they don't come back to me. Which I have all the knowledge because I learned by Rabbi Shapira then or by others. You know, I learned with big guys and they have a real knowledge about Torah. They don't come back to me. When you think like this, this is a mistake. Even though it's very harmful, hurtful. And every single mechanech has a basic need of a skill that he's able to let go. Every single mechanech. And one of the most disastrous things are those mechanism that they can't let go. They hold on to the guy. It's like their personal rechush, you know. That's mine. So this is delicate balance. Yeah? When you would begin to say, I have to keep on the contact with them, and they are so grateful to me, and they like it by me at home, then I would check up on you, and I would say, let go. Let go the guy, you know. Because you are not his Moshiach, and it's not your personal pet, that guy. Yeah? You're not. But once in a while, it's irresponsible to let him go. But you have to deal with these two. A mechanech, you have to understand it's a yetzer for mechanech not to get let go. It's a tricky thing in a yeshiva, in a bagichia, wherever. I think you know that. Yeah? It's a tricky thing, let go.
It's almost with kids. With
what?
The same yetzer with
kids. Yeah, okay, your kids.
You make him up, you manipulate his mind, you know, you form him. And then it gives bad meaning to you. That's what happens, you know. So first you give him meaning to his life, and then he gives meaning to your life.
Yeah.
Once you got that meaning, then, you know, if the guy goes, he loses that meaning.
Yeah. Actually, you have to let go. That's very difficult. That's because it's for real chinuch. You know? That's because you're a mechanech. When you're a mechanech, then you have this question. When you're not a mechanech, you don't have any question, you know. Yeah, I see it. This is the big. This is my. I have a difficulty. I don't know how it is. Mexico. You also have this lachatz of Israel trips. You have that. I think it's nonsense. I think one has to seize that in a certain way. It is nonsense. It's nonsense because it is takes away the chinuch aspect altogether. You know, you just turn over into a tourist. You give out plane tickets. You know. I said, it's nonsense. I think it's nonsense. I think they went off that. I think they don't count anymore. I think I don't know how this connected with Wolfson or not, but I think Wolfson went off that a little bit. He's much more interested in the real thing. I mean, Shmira Shabbos and keeping Tarzan Mishpoch or whatever it is. Much more interested in that. That's a healthy development. How far that goes or not, I don't know. No? No, people were once crazy, they stay crazy, you know? Don't go away so quickly. But there is a certain slight move, a little bit towards that, which I always held that it's wrong. It's wrong. You know, it's a question of mechanech. And the Israel trip is nothing mechanech, not mechanech. Israel trip is like a high, it's a trip, in the other sense, you know? That's it. Yeah. So what?
Can I ask another question?
Yeah. You can ask whatever you want. We are now we close it into the time frame.
We spoke a couple of hours ago about a certain type of yeshivas.
Yeah.
And for some, you know, the guy, a certain guy, that for him would be very good to be in that type of yeshiva, as long as he stays there at most 6 months. Okay. 6 months or 1 year. After a year, you know, that it would be very destructive. And they are going to destroy it. But in the first year, he will be very good. I mean, really very good. And that's the only play that I would say would they could mechanic. So should I send him to that place, telling him? I have done it a couple of times, much more than a couple of times. Go there, but after a year, please don't stay. Don't stay after a year. Or if you really want to stay, so call me back. But
there's a tricky thing with these places. Look, the you have to understand, this is a thing which I have antidotes. It's like I have antibodies against that thing. The places which we speak about, these yeshivas, they are specialists in not knowing how to let go. They are mumchim in that. They are best at it, you know. They create a whole cult around them. A whole cult. And when you go, I know the fact this place is not going to get to you because you are not English speaking. I know an English speaking place which comes not real Baal Tshuva, but similar thing that's about Tshuva goes to him. And the Rosh Yeshiva says, when you will not follow my advice and you don't do what you will be sick and you'll die, you'll get cancer. And I can't give you name of people which had that.
You had cancer?
Yeah. That's what they did. That's what the Rosh Yeshiva says. And the Bochim are terrified to leave the place. I hope that place is also to go.
Maybe let's not do the bait sword in Siber. Let's do this strategy better.
So no, this is a terrible place. I hold it's awesome, mamish, to go to that place. That is awesome. And I had korbanos from there. I had korbanos even wanted cancer, which went away, and he got that. And they had to drive him out. It's thought that it is because the Rosh Yeshiva has a tain on him. I think that is crazy, you know. But he's Matzliach. That's the whole point. He's Matzliach. He has around him, even one of my family, a nephew of mine, is there. And Reuven Leuchter, by that Rosh Yeshiva, is a dirty word, versteht sich, you know. So he doesn't come, never comes to me. He has married, and there's a whole cult around him, a whole kibbutzila around that guy. And all this uppermost, it's crazy, it's not normal, you know. Not normal. But this is a tendency of these places. So when you send there, you have to understand that it is an enormous effort for a boy to get out again. It's an enormous effort. Yeah? Perhaps not after 6 months, but after a year, I think it's an enormous effort to get out. I don't know how you experience that.
I mean, it's very difficult, but
it didn't work.
Yeah. But in some cases, that would be the only place that would be the only place where he can grow in Torah mitzvahs.
But if the whole point that Rav Lichtenstein says that it's chinuch, you're basically telling him, don't let be mechunach by these people. Like I
more than a year.
But no, but chinuch means I trust you. You're telling don't trust that. So I don't understand how even it could work, no?
Yeah, but there is a certain thing in a maysid which is called misgeret of a maysid which itself has an impact on a person. You know, you can't deny it. There's a misgeret. There is a misgeret which gives the clarity of the mahalach and things like this. That makes an impact on a person. We can't close our eyes, you know? Not because we think we are more intelligent than reality is not existing. That's a reality. The Moshe does something. We have our art by us in the Haredi Tzibur, also Moshe's like this, which I hold they are not mechanach or anything, but they give a very clear mahalach, you know. Not the chinuch, but the mahalach. And no real answer to that. But look, don't know. I do not know. I don't know what to say. According to my opinion, you would have to have some bigger man there in that area, which this bocher should also have a contact with him local, not only from you, because you pretty quickly lose your your authority, because you are in Mexico and you don't know the real reality, and they are there, everything is revealed to them. Yeah? And then you can have a more close someone which is there, and it's a Talmid Chochm. And a theoretical mensch, and he has a contact that you tell the guy, and you have a contact with one, and you tell the Bocher, you should contact him, and you tell the guy he should contact the Bocher. And you are saying on that, perhaps making up such a framework. You need some influence also from outside in order to be calm with that. You understand? For example, these places I don't know how they work from inside. But I had another place which I know how they work from inside. And there the people came to me, there they learn extremely slowly, you know, extremely. But it's also the learning by them is that only we know how to learn. I hate these places where they say only we have the Mahalach, you know. Only we know how to learn. And then that is not a good idea to tell that to Ruin Leuchtam. That's a very bad idea. Whenever you come to me and say, only my way of behave or of learning is the only way to do it, I really, this is not a good idea to tell me that. Then I will drive you crazy. Because I hold it's a very, very dangerous statement that you are the only guy. Only we know. That was always my quarrel with the people is, I don't only want to tell you, tell me that you don't know, or tell me you are not the only way. This cult scenery which is there. I spoke with Arturo a lot about that, that's right? I may say it even in this building. Yeah?
Sure.
I spoke with Arturo a lot about Shita of Eish. So I said, I am very much love all the people, but I think there are other people in the world too, you know? You can't tell me only you know how to do the job, you know? This is nonsense. This is plain nonsense. Because there are other people which do a great job, and you do it in a different way. You may hold of your way, but you can't tell me all the other ways are not worthless. No, don't tell me that. When I am Baad Musa, let's say, but I am my best friend is a Brisker, which he doesn't know, and the other best friend is a Hasidish or a Belzer. He doesn't know what Musa means altogether. I said, do you think I was revealing America and it's only my way which works? No, there are other ways too. Only my way of learning works. No, there are other ways too. So that's a very basic thing, you know. And this is what drives me crazy about these Meisters, which they have like this. Only us and only we, and you have to be connected, or you can't go out, you know. Okay?
Why are you saying that the codes are not good talks for Tamim Karev?
What?
The codes. What are you against so much?
Ah, would you mind? That is interesting for you. It's interesting for them.
It's not very interesting for him.
Which kind of talks are good then? I mean, why isn't that a good talk?
You can have a good talk about anything. There's a difficulty. You know, it's boring for you. No, my take. No, you know it. No, this is still en vogue. That's still in use in Asia. Or you still use that?
I never used it.
But you still use it?
You use it. You like it.
I want to know why you say it's not an effective thing.
It could be effective. But I think it's wrong. Okay.
We're going to use time. No, second 12. Second time in 12 years. Don't make Shabbatonim once or twice a
year. Yes, now.
This coming Shabbat, you're invited to stay with us. We're going to use it for the first time.
Okay, second time. So it's good. You can use whatever you want. I tell you straight what I feel and what I think. It goes like this. I don't remember, but I will remember all of the chain of the argument. It goes like this. In Torah, there's a certain element of truth. That's right? Truth means that there is... What means truth? That means there is a source which this fact is relating to that source. That's what means emes in Torah. Yeah? Now, this whole looking for codes in Torah is bringing in a very dangerous way of thought, which is a scientific way of thought. The scientific way of thought has no source to connect to. They have to find some clues of truth out of a pattern. That's right? But have nothing to relate to. especially statistical things. Statistical evidence means you see the pattern evolves over here, so there has to be that there is something to it. That's what they say. That's it. That's a statistical thought. This thought process is absolutely opposed to a thought process of Torah. Such a thought process is not existing in Torah. That's a very dangerous mix-up of a scientific thought process and a theoretical thought process. It's this uppermost secular thought process which you could imagine. That's a statistical way of thinking, and mixing that up with Torah. The Torah, that thought process is not there. Not there. Because Torah is always, there is a source. There is a existing pun in Torah. There's existing posuk. There's existing avone, which this is fitting to that. Then it's true. But there's nothing there to fit to. And because of the pattern, you see that there is something to it that's very strange to Torah. That's extremely strange to Torah. Has nothing to do with truth. That's a very important thing to understand. That this can't be, it's not true. It's not truth. No. That what you say, it's mathematical truth. It's not true because it doesn't have the source to relate to. You have not an existing way. Now, what they say that the Rabbeinu Bechai said that, yeah? Because you take all the 42 oysters there in my separations, this is absolute a shaker. There they cheat you. Because that what the Rabbeinu Bechai says is when you know what Torah means, it has to be from the base from Bereishis, and it has to be 42. It would be much nicer 50, that's right. It has to be 42 oishis because of the Shem Mem base. It has to be from the base from Bereishis, and it has to be Baharat. It has to be the Moilet of the Levone. Everything has to be. It's opposite what they say. It's not a statistical evidence. It is muchach. It has to be that the moilet, when you know what moilet of the Levona means, when you know what Shem Mem Beis means, and when you know what Beis of Bereishis means, then you know it has to be that it has to be 42 oysters, it has to be Baharat, and it has to be from the base of the Bereishis. Okay? It has to be. That is true. That's what Rabbeinu Bechai says. It has nothing to do with what they cheat you. Because as you see, that the brain says that when you count the oysters, you find. He didn't find anything. He knew that it will say. That has to be over here. Look, it is. That's it. That means there was a source there, which this is fitting the source. Okay? I can't do anything that these guys of Arachim don't know what means Shem Mem Beis. They don't know what means Maise Bereishis. They don't know what means Baharat. And they don't know what means Moiler Dalbone. I can't help that. This is not my fault. When they are Amratzin, that's not my fault. And that's the same thing with every single Remes in Torah. Is it the Remes in Torah in Rosh Teves, Sefer Teves? It's not that you look for the Rosh Teves at the Pityam and you see, wow, interesting, Rosh Teves, that's unbelievable. It's not like this. It has to be that the Sefer Teves of Bereishis, Boro, Elohim, the Bereishis, Boro, Elohim, there's Emes. Yeah? It has to be that it is there. And V'oret hoyso toyu, it says twice toyre. Twice toyre, toyu. V'oret hoyso toyu, it says twice toyu somewhere there. It has to be. And this one has to be straight and the other one has to be backwards. It has to be. Everything has to be like this. Because that's what the emes of toyre means. That it is fitting that you saw it. It's fitting that was emes of toyre. And now this merging of scientific thought with toyre ingredient, it's dangerous, first. Now, second is much more chomul. The second is, I hold this question on Yorek Valiavel, the whole thing. Because the Rabbeinu, the Yamshel Shleimer says that when you say that Torah says something which a Torah never said, that's Yorek Valiavel. You may not do that. That's right? It's Yamshel Shleimer and Vobakame. It's Yamshel Shleimer. But over here, the whole point of the coding is that you tell the guy, you know, I don't say anything. It simply says in the text, you know, only it's a hidden layer. But it says in the text, you have to make that assumption that it says in the text, otherwise you have nothing to do. It says in the text. But perhaps the Torah never said it, because this pun of Torah is not an existing pun of Torah. This is a mixture between scientific thought and Torah thought, which that is a mamzerus. That's like a shatness. So that's not an existing layer in Torah. And you tell the guy, that's what Torah says. Yorik bar Yavon. But it works. I'll make a Beit Zoynis in front of my Eishat Torah thing, it will work too. But Yorik bar Yavon. It's a Rayas. Over here it's Yorik bar Yavon and Yom Shu Shleiman. That's my thing. Okay? Clear? Now you know why I'm nervous. Now you come to me, but there are Haskomas of Gdolim. Yeah, that's because the Gdolim don't know what statistic means. Of course, you go to the Gdolim and you say it works, and then they are only Slav that works. But you don't know what I am a mathematician. I know what statistical thought means. Statistical evidence has nothing to do with Emes in Torah. It's an opposite way of finding a truth. Yeah? How many statistical evidence is there for Darwin? How much?
A lot.
Billions! Hundreds of billions! In Yated Ne'eman was once an article that was the most that they found out that the dolphin is a bendot of the hippopotamus. That was like a scoop. I was laughing at them. It says, This is DNA evidence based on Darwin. They even don't get that. They don't know biology. What shall I do? You know? But when you have the evidence that things come out, because the evidence is that, you know, the DNA is related, and what is closer is more related to DNA. And also it says, do you think all the biologists came together and the conspiracy about the Haredi people, and they make this whole evolutionary theory only in order to shepherd Eish HaTorah? No, that's right? No! Because there are tons, millions of tons of statistical evidence for the theory of evolution, yeah? Millions. Is it worth gurnished? Bereishis boro elokim es hashamayim v'sorot. That's more strong than all the statistical evidence there. And pitom, you make from Torah the same thing they do with the DNA in Darwin. You believe in that? Ich kotzoiv them, yeah? I vomit on that. Okay? That's me. Atkan? Seida? I think it's pretty clear, huh?
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
How do you deal with a couple that, you know, it's a guy...
That's more interesting now. That was not for the interview, that was for the Hatzaka, huh? Okay, right.
I
bet you will go further on with that, okay? Be strong, huh? You'll present that on Shabbos. Yeah? Because there are scholars. Vakavadai, don't be coward. Don't be a schmatte. Because Leichter says something, you just say, oh, we have to cancel the shiur. No, but now you know, there is a problem with that. And there's a real problem, and no one tells you the problem. By me, Rabbi Yonis David once told me, Leichter, you want to hear the biggest shtus I heard ever? He says, yeah. He goes, he said, you know, they came to me that the big letters in the Bnei Homon gives the year when they were hanging the Nuremberg trial. So I looked at him and said, you are behind the moon. That's not what you heard that only now. I heard that when I was small. And you sell that. And Rabbi Yonison told me it's the biggest shtus. So I asked him, why is it so shtus? So he said, because why big Oysius? And why by these tongues? And why these Oysius? And why by these names? Stamishtus. You see, he knows what Torah is. Because there is a remes in Torah, it has to be dafke by these killed children, and dafke with these oysen, and everything dafke. Because it comes out like this, the result is like this. That's why it is a remes, you don't know what Torah means. Clear? Clear? Okay. A lot to think about, huh? Okay.
It's very common, you know, not by the spreading, but by the Turks, I think it is also common. You have a guy living with a shiksa.
Yes. And he really loves learning, huh? And he's really miscarried.
And they come to you, and the question is, should you try to make her Jewish, real Jewish, or should you try to be mad?
Okay, this is, I can't say it's off the record, but I tell you what is normally. It's like, let's say, when there are children there. No. At least because I don't know what marriage means there. Okay, I first go with the children. When there are children there. Are the children nothing? They're going, yeah? They are nothing?
It's a Jewish word.
According to
she's a goy and he's you.
Okay.
According to the Torah, they are not your children.
According to common sense and belt, you are right.
So you learned the Chazal, you learned the Gemara, which says, Yecholim Mamzeirim Litoel. You heard that once?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
The
Shifcha is a Goy or a Jew?
Goy.
It's a Goy.
Yeah.
And then the children, you can't be Meshachar. What has that child to do with the Mamzer? It's not his child. What is Yecholim Mamzeirim Litoel? The Mamzeirim Yecholim Litoel. No, nothing Litoel. What has to do with the Mamzer? The mamzer, just she has a child with nefkamin for him. It's not misyachas to him, no? What is yechayim mamzer with her? You see, it's not so simple the way you say. What means yechayim mamzer litoa? It's not the mamzer's child. It's a goyim.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's misgayer. So what has to do with him? What is yechayim mamzer litoa? So it's not so simple. Teira is a little bit more complicated than you think, Rabbi. Huh? Okay, so it's not so simple. So when you have children of such a marriage, you are mekarev them for sure. Avid Yoshim also holds like this. Yeah?
From
Yoshim.
From
Andeir or from Goy? No. From Goy. Same thing. Mamza with a shifra, shifra is a Goy. You know, same thing. Okay, so you are mekarev them for sure, the children.
Even if they don't have a Jewish identity?
Okay, since I don't know. But umimeile, this is a good question. Umimeile, for sure the mother too. For
but
sure the mother too.
You try to make them gear in the right way.
What?
You try to make gear them in the right way.
In the right way, you know. No, not to go and take them and put them in the mikveh like Baal Kolcho, you know, make him an Eved Knani. No. No, you try to be mekarev of them.
Yeah.
They try to make a cover of them because Zera Yisrael. Rav Yoshi says calls that Zera Yisrael. That's what I heard. He calls that Zera Yisrael. The other raya I heard from someone else. What I told you, it's a good raya, no? Yechayim on Zera Yisrael, what's that with the Mamzer? No, it's like Mishachas to him. It's not Mishachas to him, but it's like has some Shaychas to him.
Without kids.
And now, without kids is a tricky thing. Without kids is a tricky thing. The trickiness is that, you know, over here you have him, which is for sure Jewish, you know? And you have to think that what makes him be closer? What makes him be closer? You have to daiga for him for sure. To daiga for her, you don't have to daiga for her. But you make him closer. How do you make that? When you would try, a young guy, you know, you have a young intermarried guy, and you try to talk him off his girlfriend, when you feel that you can do that, for sure you will do it. When he's married, much more tricky, because when he's married, the truth is in the 21st century, I don't know what marriage means exactly. I do not know what that means, how much the commitment goes or not. But let's say that there is a commitment, yeah, there is a commitment there, and he really wants to have a family with her. That's why they married. Let's say, so then also it's a question that you will lose the guy. So I mean, it's absolutely mutual to go further on, according to what I understand. Go further on. Whenever you have a boy and a girlfriend, and just not
meaning that you can lose him, but try to he should leave her.
What? No, go further on with that you know, Makarov him, and then with the time, perhaps she should be his guy or not, something like this. Yeah? Because you will lose the guy when you will try to leave her when he's married.
So you try to be Makarov him, and then let him decide if he wants to leave her.
Yeah, yeah. Or just let him decide, or make her also Jewish. It could be Megayer. I saw people, big people, much bigger than me, which they try to be Megayer, such ladies, you know, in an erlich way. No more this Gera Arayas, you know, when it's only because you're living with him, that's not good. Today we went a little bit off of that in the official, in the good Geras, we went off from that. And then most of the time, then she would be his Gaya, and then she will leave him because that guy went with the Shiksa, you know. That's what happens over and over again, you know.
Yeah, the question is, a Geirus, that sometimes she is not ready to keep Shabbos, let's say. What? But she's not ready to keep Shabbos, but she could be ready to keep Kashrus, some mitzvahs. So, are you Megayer her so that the whole entire family will remain in default?
No. How can you be Megayer her? Without a couple of
zones. She's a Kabbalah's on mitzvahs, but she's not ready yet. Doesn't mean
what
that
does
somebody
it mean?
Has the Kabbalah's to Megayer every ready. Single mitzvah that day, it's clear.
What?
You don't have to Megayer every single mitzvah the day that you're Megayer.
Ah, the Kabbalah's obviously she's. So, look, this depends. this I don't want to go into that. That's very much depending on you. It's based on your evaluation. I don't know whether his, her Kabbalahs or mitzvahs, or whether his commitment to Torah with her commitment to him will go through. I would look at it like this. His commitment to Torah is very much depending on him being miskarev. So the question is, where does he hold in his kiyuv? Because in the end, he went with the shiksa, you know? So it's not so committed to Torah, but it could be that now he really wants, and he really wants, be'etzim, what I wanted to leave her, but he doesn't want to leave her because of her, you know? So when that is the case, then you say the commitment by him is there. Another question is, how much is she committed to him? What do you take? Once in a while, the commitment from her to him is really very much so that she, in a short time, will go into the fold of going keeping Shabbos. That could be. But I'm not sure. This I can't make it clear. But there you could make your Chochmas Chaim also work. You, the way you evaluate the matzav. But then you would have to speak with the rabbi, and then also with the one which makes the geiros, and could be there you will have resistance, or you have to come through with your case, and that's healthy for you. You know, you don't make the geiros yourself. You know, you are which community you are belonging to.
It's part of the community.
Sure, you don't make geiros.
The Turkish.
Turkish. Or Turkish is a problem. Turkish, they are very open-minded people.
Yeah, very.
Very open-minded people. Yeah, very nice. No. Turkish are very open-minded, you know.
Very.
For example, a couple that wants to keep Torah mitzvahs and Jewish vote, and the other one is completely reluctant. That's a very common thing.
The one wants, the other one not.
Yes.
Speaking about going there.
No, Jews, both Jews.
Jews.
You know, and that's even, you know, he wants to keep Taras HaMishpacha, and she's like reluctant all the way around. And it's very clear that there's not even a petach for the other side to do anything. It's not that, you know, no man, you know, we have a good marriage, since he started his religion, we're falling apart. What's the right approach for a person who wants to grow? They had a good marriage, it's not like a bad marriage. But since he started his religion, it's becoming a problem.
It's his decision. And he decides. I don't know whether you have
not because
to.
In his usually the mindset is, you know, it's my Olam Haba and my mitzvahs. You know, she's a very lovely woman. I really don't. I want to know if this is the way he should meshakel the decision. He's a very lovely woman, we have very beautiful kids. But, you know, the eternity is based on my mitzvahs and my being able to keep terms. You know, for 40 years of beautiful life and an eternity, I know what I should do. Let's say he plays a question like that.
No.
That's what people think.
What?
That's what he thinks. He really.
Yeah. But no, I would get out of that grip. You know, I would get out of that. No.
Okay.
So I can't answer such a thing.
How would you relate to it?
There's a big question over here. For example, in a, it's a big question over here. It's like a developmental question in the marital relationship by them. I would cannot say it is like a psychological question over here. Yeah? I would say like this. Perhaps I'll tell you that. Marriage, this is, for example, one thing which I didn't see that, by the way. That's Arturo will tell me whether they speak like that. But you speak about Taivas Noshi. Say we speak of Tayyar's notion, but we speak also the other way around, by the Tayyar for the woman, you know. So what is that Tayyar's notion? So the way I see by the Goyim, which they take Tayyar's notion, it is something very superficial. And I saw that by big people, by big thinkers also, they take that very superficial. It's like that you run after a beautiful woman, and she is mefate you, you know, that's the way that they think, that's the tafkid of a woman, to be mefate you, that's what they think. And she's mefate you, and you run after her, that's what Taivas Noshi means. I think a lot of people think like this. I think it's a mistake. The mistake is that Taivas Noshi means this whole marriage. Taivas Noshi is not only about intimacy in a sexual way. Taivas Noshi means that I am thrilled about the response of the other person when I give him something. That's what Taivas Noshi means. Meaning that this warmth which I have within me, that someone responds to me what I give him. That can be also when you give him a flower. and you give a flower to your wife and then she smiles to you. And this smile is by you worth a million. That is Taibes Noshim. So Taibes Noshim is not a beautiful wife you're running after. That's not. That is like the behemoth. A Taibes Noshim of a human being is a Taibes of relationship. The relationship is inside. You want the other one to be happy with your input. And that's why Taibes Noshim, what more is there, what stronger it is. I know that you have a problem with that, that when you were prepared for your chasana, then the preparation for the chasana went like this, that now till now everything was awesome. Now you marry, magically, the thing which is also became Kodesh Kodoshim. That's nonsense. The thing which was also is still also the same way. Because why was it also? Because there was no one to receive it. There was no one there to respond. So that's also, that stays also. And you see that that is Taibes Noshim. I speak now to adult people. You see, when someone is married, you know, and you are Mekayim Mitzvos Oina at home, and once in a while that happens throughout the marriage, once in a, in 50 years, you know, but once in a while it happens that the Rebbetzin doesn't have anything out of it. And then the man feels like a dog, like a gurnisht. Why? He had his satisfaction of getting rid of his drive. Why he feels like a gurnisht? Because there was no Taibes Noshim there. Because there was no response. Yeah? Because that's what he wants. He wants that in bodily intimacy, but he wants that throughout the whole world, throughout his whole life. So I don't think that's what he wants when he calls home. He wants when he calls on that he should hear, ah, very good. That's Taibes Noshim. That's Taibes Noshim. He wants the response on his effort to reach out. He wants the response. That's Taibes Noshim. That is Kodesh Kodoshim. So according to my opinion, such a couple would have to have an eye-opener for that. And this is a problem. When one is evolving in some way, they don't have a problem with him. They have a problem with Taibes Noshim in the Sheirish. That she has now to think, am I interested that my husband should be happy with me? Or is he interested that my wife should be happy with me? Is that interest so deep that I will swallow down that she now is happy with the other input of mine? Yeah?
With both sides.
Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. But this is the... So the one says, I can't go back from that. It's like, when you are... How old are you?
34.
So you are a happy man. I'm 58. Yeah. What do you do when your Rebbetzin gets older and she will not be able to have children anymore? And then all the things change. What do you then? You in your dirty literature by those psychologists which I hate, you know, in your dirty literature you'd call that midlife crisis. That's right. Midlife crisis simply an ununderstanding of Taibes Noshim. Because he thinks this wife is not interesting anymore because she is now, you know, older. By me, it's better not 1 of 40, 2 of 20 is much more interesting, you know. That's what you think, you know. That's what you go for. It is not that you are a chazal, you are a chazal. But it has nothing to do with the midlife crisis. It has to do with that the whole concept of Taibes Noshim, standing on wrong feet, and what do you do then? Then also it's her decision that she gets older and the hormones change. It's her decision. I now don't accept that. You can do whatever you want. I am only 57, my best years, and I make sport every day. I'm in the best condition in the world. I don't accept his wife anymore. Why doesn't he say to her like this? Why not? You know what? He does it because, you know what? You know exactly, you know. Because there is a chazal. No, it's a mistake in that whole concept. When you make a decision like this, or your body changes, like what do you do with a wife which has goes through a tour now? You leave her, or you have a maitresse next to her. You, what are you doing then? She has a tour now. You know, what do you do then? Paraplex. What do you do then? Then you just say, okay, I never married a woman like this. You know, from Salada, I go away. You know. But no, you have to find there is Taibes Noshim there, there's an intimacy and the closeness to there, because this giving and taking is still there, you know, and you're interested in that. That I tell you that works. I tell you that I said it last year too. I'm ashamed to say it, but I am married for 35 years, and this compliment you don't get from your wife normally. But this year, my wife told me that it couldn't be better, our marriage. You hear it from the wife, you know, that you wouldn't give her it. And I go out of home, you know, you see, I'm here, and she just sits there, you know. That's right?
Not very. I have one question.
Yeah?
I still have 9 minutes.
No, I have to call my wife. That was just now. So, always she goes to sleep. You know, someone has a phone or got call. No, afterwards, just afterwards. Yeah, I'll do that.
I have a problem. I find it very common nowadays.
But you understand what I mean?
Yes, but
of course it's a tricky thing. But they don't see that over here. There is a deepening of marriage going on, demanding, not a demand of the other guy. Oh, how's the guy? What is with you? You know. There's a deeper meaning of marriage demanded. You have to find another level of relating. Yeah. What was he? What is?
I find it very today we deal with Rehokim and also Rehokim. I find it very common, at least to me. I receive a lot of people that were about the shuvas, went to yeshiva, and they keep fulfilling Torah and mitzvahs, but they're completely empty from the inside. They're scared of leaving it because of social pressure, the marriage, everything. But if they would have a chance, if they would go to China, nobody sees them, they would do the craziest thing we've ever seen. The problem is they're empty from the inside, and when I try to turn them on, I find it extremely difficult because everything I tell
them...
I have been there. And they're going to remain the same people. Probably they're not going to be the Avdadarev you find in the American.
But they were from the beginning?
Both. Also about the Shuvas. They won't be Avdadarev like you find in America, so common that they go completely off because of social pressure. But I really don't find an easy way to light them up. It happens to me. This week it happened 2 or 3 times, people who I received phone calls saying, I don't believe if Abayan Ravar true. Show me from the Torah, not from Rashi, because Rashi is not the Torah.
I don't believe what?
Yeah. Abayi that they're saying the truth. And how can they intact a new decree of Nesilas Yadayim? But don't show me from Rashi. Show me from the Chumash. They have the very basic emunah dilemmas. Some people are afraid of asking them.
The answer on that is always personal. Always personal means always you. I had this once, I gave this answer de facto, and they hate me because of that. But we had these dilemmas. We had the dilemmas when you have dilemmas about physics or about other things for knowing. And then you see a chacham in front of you. I saw Rav Hutno. When you want to speak out physics, he knew it better. When you spoke about history, he knew it better. When he spoke about music, he knew it better. When he spoke to chemistry, he knew it better. When he spoke about Kabbalah, he knew it better. When he spoke with him about Breslover Hasid, he spoke with like a Breslover. When he spoke with Musa, he knew it better. And this guy was entirely from. Then you, Ruben Leuchter, you limited, halfway through idiot, can be from too. And all your questions are in the air. I saw it personal. I saw the guy. There's no answer to that. It's a personal. And when I deal with them, I always try to do that. I try to show them, and I'm a full developed man, you know, I don't have the answers. The point is I don't answer them any questions. I don't have the answers. But I live Torah with the ganze Geschmack. And you want to speak with me physics, first learn Riki Kalkül, and then Tensor algebra, and then we will speak about Einstein. And when you want to learn chemistry, we'll speak about physical chemistry, and you will learn your quantum physics pretty well before you speak with me. And when you want to speak about history, we will open up the Russian history just for you, you know? And then I can be Haredi. You schmuck can be Haredi too, you know? That's the real answer. That's the only answer I have. I am a full living person. I'm not a Haredi person. I'm a full living person, you know? A full living person. And I'm Haredi, you can be Haredi too. That's the point of Kiddush Hashem. But I would ask you, what is Kiddush Hashem? Is Kiddush Hashem that even though you are Haredi, you are normal? or even though you are normal, you are Haredi. That's a big difference, because when you say, for example, even though I am small, I'm only 1.65 meters, but I'm good at basketball. That means the main point is the other one. It says, even though I am Haredi, but I'm normal, or you say, even though I'm normal, but I'm Haredi. What's a Kiddush Hashem? So by you, most of the people, it's that even though that I'm Haredi, but I'm normal. Because you wouldn't say to a guy, I have no time for you, I have to finish the daf first. Hashem, you have time for the daf, you can learn later. No. The Kiddush Hashem is that to say to the guy, I have no time for you now, I have to finish the daf later. Okay, right up. Because even though I am normal, but you know what, I'm Haredi. Rav Shach did it with Sharon. Sharon was in the middle of the there was the Prirod, there was the Medina, and Deglatera was strong in the politic, and Rav Shach was there, and Sharon called Rav Shach on his phone, and Rav Shach told him, I have no time for you now, I have to prepare Shir Kloli, Shach. So he told him, in other words, all of you Medina can go down the drain, I have to say that Shir Kloli now, that's more important than all of you Medina. That's called Kiddush Hashem. And you would call it Chilul Hashem, that's right? That's your problem. Yeah, that's your problem. Because even though I am normal, but I'm Haredi, then the question is less. But you are normal, but I'm Haredi. And you take it the other way around. You say, even though that Haredi, but I'm normal. And that's the wrong way thing. And then he says, no, okay, I stay only normal, but you have to be Haredi, obviously. I say only normal. Now, even though I'm normal, I'm Haredi. And then that's the Kiddush Hashem. And that works. Okay? Seder? Atkan, sei gesund.